We're back on. Hi, everyone. It's Jungle Jim Jerome. Coming up shortly, Russ Cortland is going to join me. This is the Suspendables that you're listening to. And we're off and rolling. I'm getting calls from people around the country. They're hearing the ads for it on the radio. This is a podcast which is brought to you by Global Story Network. And they are in the, they've got a podcast and they've got our platform of podcasts that people are turning into. One of them is True Crime, an inspirational story shared by Hollywood filmmakers Leo Geller and Anthony, I want to say Samandani or something like that. I should know that, called Surviving the Impossible. They've got another one called Dadtitude, which is fun, funny, and informative parenting from dad's perspective. And ours, funny and outrageous. It's Candid Man Cave Talk with Russ Cortland and me, Jungle Jim Jerome. It's called the Suspendables. And another big one they're doing for political entertainment with anti-Trump conservative John Ziegler, who's a absolute guru in political criticism. So that's who's doing this. So we thank Global Story Network. Rusty, where do we find you? Where are you?
Hey, what part of the world? Hey, I'm still at Gaza Ranch in Idaho. Went back to LA for a week, but I'm here through September, baby. Other than maybe 5 days for a wedding in Cabo.
Oh, yeah, fuck. I just, you know, when I hear you say that, you know, every time I'm in Hawaii and I'm in LA and I'm up in Gaza, like as if all that isn't good enough. And then you're like, it's just like pouring oil into my face, hot burning oil into my face. Going, oh yeah, now I'm off to Cabo San Lucas. You know, I just want to go, go fuck yourself.
Okay. I'll take it.
Good to have you back on. We've had a lot of good shows. They're up and going. You can listen to us on any platform. So, Russ, we're right into the hockey, of course. St. Louis-Boston final. And I talked to you earlier today to set up the time we're going to do this, and you were going ballistic how much you're loving this series.
I am. What I was saying to you earlier was that every time – St. Louis or Boston has won. After that game, I thought that team who won was going to go on to win the series. Every single game has been, after the game's over, we're like, okay, Boston's going to win. Second game, St. Louis just hammers him. Oh my God, St. Louis is going to beat him. And then, man, it's just been so exciting to watch and so many elements of the game. I think for fans, it's been fantastic.
Why do you think it is, Russ? Like, what I'm getting is from watching those games too is like you get this sort of complete collapse, you know, either defensively or they can't score. And I'm like you, and you know, going, they got no shot. They're going to get drilled here. You know,
yeah.
Why is that, Russ? How is this so? It's sort of like exciting inconsistency that has made this thing going to go seven games.
I don't know, because if they both got great players and obviously great coaches. I love the coaches, two retired players. I'm really enjoying listening to what they have to say and what the players are saying about their coaches. And I love the coaches that give a guy a pat on the back, you know, that are strict yet fair and honest and look you in the eye every day. So I'm really happy for both those guys. And I don't know. I just don't have an answer why it's been so, like you said, inconsistent.
Yeah. What about this, Russ? One of the highlights of this series, the Stanley Cup final between Boston and St. Louis, I've been around hockey. I've been around it as long as you had been playing it. And when I think of these high level series, you know, finals, in Super Bowls and in golf, we're going to talk about the basketball, which we have to in a second. When I think of those, there's always seems to be this sort of either standout situation that happened or a standout guy. And when I saw Zdeno Chara, the huge defenseman for Boston,
amazing.
This guy got hammered with a puck and broke his jaw. Okay, broke his jaw so badly that he can't open his mouth.
Yeah.
So we see that gone for the series.
Yeah.
Or not. And the guy comes back, suits up with the fixed up head, you know, headgear and around
the bird, the bird feeder, we call it.
The bird feeder helmet. And Russ, I see the guy standing at center ice. And when they announced his name to introduce the team, I mean, obviously the place went upside down with this unbelievable regroup from the guy. And he didn't wince, Russ. He didn't wave like most guys would. He didn't nod his head. He didn't look side to side. Yeah. He had the crazy serial killer eyes going and just looked straight ahead. And I think that thing has a lot to do with players going, fuck, if this guy can do this, you guys, you know?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, as soon as they announced he broke his jaw, anyone and everyone who plays the game or played the game thought the series was over, except the guys in that locker room. And man, he came out that first game. Would that have been game five with the bird feeder?
Right.
I think so. Yeah, game five in Boston. And they were hammering him, just relentless.
Ouch.
And then they and then obviously coming back in game six, he looked a lot better in game six. And it just shows you how freaking tough, you know, athletes are, especially our boys that play hockey. But man, that was just, it's just been amazing to watch him.
Yeah. The other, because I want your experience with this when you've been around the game for so long and in playoffs. The other story is Kawhi Leonard, who plays for the Toronto Raptors, and the Raps are one win away from victory and winning the World Championship, the NBA title. A couple things here, Russ, that's happening. One is up here anyway in Canada, the Raptors have taken over from the NHL Stanley Cup final.
Wow.
It's crazy, you know, and there's something about a Canadian team winning ostensibly an American game, you know, that they're doing this. But when you think of Zdeno Chara, this Kawhi Leonard, who's arguably now the best player in basketball, has single-handedly won games for them. This guy, Russ, this guy, when they get this fantastic play, you know, when they win the game, and the guy got mobbed. He had a buzzer beater basket. You probably saw it to beat Philadelphia. You know, and the guy doesn't even react. People are mauling him, and he's like, he's got the crazy eyes going, and walking off the court. There's no swagger. There's no waving to the crowd. There's nothing. He reminds me of a lot of great athletes. You know, Tiger Woods had that, right? Made him one of the best players ever. Is you got nothing out of that guy in an interview. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. And they kept trying to say, dude, you're on the fucking verge here. Excuse my language. You're on the verge of breaking, Jack Nicklaus's record. It's like, I don't pay attention to it. I just want to win. I just want to win. And Mark Messier, Russ, I know you got a lot to say about this. Mark Messier, I happened to be caught in a dressing room. I shouldn't have been there. I was hiding behind a fridge. And it was during a practice, and they shut the door to the dressing room, and he absolutely snapped on everyone about, like, he was scary, you know?
Wow.
He's like, I want to win a Stanley Cup. That's all I want to do right now. I don't give a fuck about your family, my family. I don't give a shit about you trying to win one for your kid, all that crap, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, talk about that. You knew the guy, and talk about these other guys.
I played with Mark during a lockout year. It was 99 All-Stars, and it was just an exhibition series, and he stood up in the room, and he freaking ripped us because we weren't playing well. And it was made up of NHL All-Stars and Gretz's friends, and it was an unbelievable team. Went and played 8 games in Europe during the lockout, and we're playing Norway or something like that. And they're either up 2-0 or I can't remember, but after the first period, he stood up, and you got Brett Hull there. You got Stevie Eisman, Gretz, you know, Rick Tockett, Paul Coffey, on and on and on.
Big names.
And, and he just ripped us, and we went on to win about 7-2. And I'll never forget this. Brett Hull was blocking shots.
Which he normally wouldn't, of course. Yeah.
It was an exhibition. It was an exhibition series. And then one more story about Mess. We were playing in the playoffs in New York in 1997, and he gave it to, you know, all those guys. I think I've told this story before on our podcast, but guys out there juggling the soccer ball before the game, like every team does it now.
Yeah, right.
He gave he blamed our loss on those guys in the hallway weren't taking the game serious. And you fucking guys out in the hallway juggling the soccer ball, you're not even thinking of the game.
Right. Yeah.
Anyways, he was a great leader, and he led. He was very emotional, and where Gretz was a great leader, but in my experience with Wayne, he led on the ice. He said a few things, but not that much, I don't think.
Yeah, he was pretty low reactor, right? That wasn't his speed, right? Yeah,
no,
I mean,
no.
It's sort of back to Russ. Actions speak louder than words, you know. And I can't think that it was anything else but amazing when Zdeno Chara stepped on the ice with a broken jaw. That the players must be going, oh my god, I don't know if I would be able to. But you sort of get these galvanizing moments. Huh?
You think most people out there who've had a broken jaw and they wire it shut, and if they freaking sneeze, it hurts.
Yeah.
And he's out there getting hit into the glass, into the boards. He's taking slap shots. I mean, everything he's doing must be just his jaw must just be on fire, unless they're freezing it up or something. But man, I give this guy. He should win some sort of award for what the bravery he's showing and then the toughness.
Sure. You know, I was thinking in other sports when I got to think about this today, there's a lot of clips, you know, great guys in sports, you know, Tom Brady, you know, in the NFL, Roger Federer in tennis, Mike Tyson as a boxer, Tiger Woods, you know, Mark Messier we brought up. You know, Roger Federer is one of the most low reactors ever, right? And the guy's the best tennis player. Tom Brady, and I want to ask you this, Russ. Mm-hmm. There's many, many clips of Tom Brady who has won five Super Bowls? Five?
Fuck, it's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Ripping guys during the game on the bench. Yeah. Absolutely tearing them a new one. You know, Mike Tyson, right? Never spoke, never got into the trash talk. Very seldom got into the trash talk, and annihilated guys. You know, and there must be something to say for that, right? Where these guys get mean, and yet high performers. You know,
well, the one thing when you stand up to your teammates and you're giving it to a teammate or your teammates. Yep. You better turn around and go out there and play your ass off, because if you don't. They're going to go, who the hell is this guy? So I think,
right.
Yeah, it's fantastic that he does it. But then he goes out and he plays lights out. And the guys are like, oh, my God, I got to pick up my game. And
right.
not a lot of people want to step out of that shadow and say, oh, yeah, you're not doing your job. They'll talk behind your back or, you know, not right. saying – they'll just badmouth you behind your back but won't say anything. And you got to admire people – who step up and say something and then back it up. And usually they're the best players.
Let's talk about something else, Russ. We're into a game seven for the Stanley Cup tonight. It's going to be decided when we do this. You're coaching Russ, or you're a player on that team, or you're one of the leaders on either one of those squads going into this thing tonight. It's do or die. What's said now, Russ, before this game?
I think the message from the teams are going to be to one another is, how good is this? We're a game seven. Somebody's going to win the Stanley Cup tonight. Let's make it us. And let's go out there and leave it all on the ice and see what happens. But boys, we've been dreaming of this our whole lives since we were little kids. And here we are. And in front of... you know, millions of people. I mean, it's those guys are going to be so fired up knowing
right.
in 2.5 hours or 3 hours, however long it takes, unless they go into overtime, somebody's going to be hoisting the cup. I mean, how freaking exciting are these excited are these guys? I mean, they're going to have a hard time sleeping.
What's interesting, what you just said about what the guys talk about in game seven, is at no point there did you ever say, okay, boys, let's stick to our system. Let's protect the puck. Let's be tighter on defense. You know, let's make sure we do the dumping like we're supposed to. Remember the play. None of that shit goes on, Russ, before a big game like this?
Well, for sure that that message has been cemented into these guys' head. They know how they got there, and they don't have to change a thing. They both won three games, and they both won them. You know, they hammered each other. So they know what they know how they played when they lost, and they know how they played when they won. And the coach, I mean, he's going to do what they do and remind players, like, you know, watch for these consistencies, tendencies, whatever. And then just let's go play. Let's go have fun. Mm-hmm. Let's freaking get out there and leave it on the ice.
So how do you win? Who's going to win this thing? Can you pick? I mean,
I couldn't even tell you. I mean, look at the series. I mean, like I said at the beginning of the show, I said after every win, you thought that that team was going to go on to win the series. Yep. So now, I mean, they've both won in on the road. So there's no advantage there other than the screaming fans. And sometimes you get so amped up because you want to win it for your fans, it can hurt you. You know, some guys just start playing a little bit. They start trying to do too much because they're in front of their hometowns, where you play a little more conservative on the road. So it's going to be fun to watch, boy.
Well, in a crazy situation, game sevens, of course, are, I don't care what sport it is, Russ, to be honest with you, if I hear it could be cricket, man, and they're going, there's a big game tonight. They're playing for the world championships in the final. I might take a look, you know, I might tune in. This thing doesn't get bigger. It doesn't get any better if you're a fan. You know, if the thing ever went into overtime, it would be crazy. What I do hate, Russ, and I've got to admit, I've had this experience like other people, is sometimes these games become disappointing because of bad luck or good luck the other way. You've had blowouts before in game sevens. How do you avoid that, man?
Goaltending. I mean, I just think the goaltenders have to be on point, and that would be the shits if somebody wins 7-2 or, you know, 5-1. I just hope it's a close, great game. But just who knows?
We'll find out tonight. Yeah, we're gonna know tomorrow. You sent me a hilarious clip. We got to talk about it. Okay, I'm just looking it up here again. I should have this prepared. There's a player.
Oh my God.
Okay, there's a player over in.
You're really going to go there.
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? Yeah. And then I got to talk to you about how I'm getting shot. I'm on the dating scene again, Russ. I'm trying to date. Oh God.
We've heard about that.
Yeah, I'm getting shut down. we're going to look this up here. I just want you to I'll go over the story.
No one ever believes this story. And then now with the internet, you just send them to the site and they're like, you're kidding me. It really did happen.
The guy's name is Yan. It looks like Huoko. 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 Yeah. I'll just read a bit of this. The taunts were directed at Yan, a stocky defenseman with the, it looks like the Leksand Hockey Club in Sweden's second tier professional hockey league, and a former player with AIK. What is that? Yeah. What is AIK? What league is that? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. So the story goes on. He comes to he's a visiting team. What happens was this guy has sex with his girlfriend, and he makes a video of it. Yeah. And obviously she ends up alone while he's videoing it with a toy. Okay.
Yeah.
Got a toy. A vibrator.
She's got the toy in her.
She's got the toy. His phone gets so, like a moron, he videotapes this.
Yeah.
And then his phone gets stolen. Okay. So after the video, and dude who finds the phone comes across this and goes, look what I have here, boys. Look what I have here. And the thing goes, it doesn't get on the internet, Russ. It explodes on the internet.
Yeah.
And goes viral. And this guy then has a hockey game to play on the road. He's on the road, and he jumps on the ice.
And they shower him with
dildos.
Dildos.
Okay. And apparently, it looked
everywhere.
Like, everywhere. If you've watched any sort of hockey game, it's the equivalent of a guy getting a hat trick.
Yeah.
And but it's everyone throws their hat on the ice. And so the place got showered with a bunch of dildos. Right? So apparently the home team, okay, got wind of this, that these fans were going to do this because he's on the opposition, of course.
Yeah.
And there was nothing they could do. There was nothing they could do to stop it. And so this is what happened with this poor guy. He commented on it. He commented and said he knew it was going to happen. Some were saying he shouldn't have even gone to the game, that it was going to be such a big distraction. The guy had a heads up,
Russ,
about it. Yeah, so to speak. That he knew this was going to happen. I give the guy a lot of marks.
Oh my God.
He showed up to the game. And then after, he made a comment. He said it was a private thing.
Yeah.
Good luck there. Good luck there. And he said, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Well, when I first saw it, I couldn't believe it. They're throwing, they're just coming from everywhere. Showered him. And what I was told, I didn't read the story. I just watched the video. But the story I was told, that his wife found the video and sent it to the media, and they played it on the air. But
the guy was married?
I that's the story I heard. But anyways, they all found out about it.
Yeah.
And they played the video, I don't know how many times, and of her, you know, doing what she was doing with him. And he's famous. Dildo boy. Dildo boy.
Dildo boy. Dun 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 dildo dun 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 dun.
Oh my God.
I've heard some of the shit that's been thrown on the ice. You know, some of the what is Detroit does the octopus? I think I don't know how that tradition ever came about. You've played some game.
Three baby pigs. They piglets. They put they oiled them up, and they wrote Montreal Canadiens numbers on the. On the pigs in Quebec City, and when they let them out the door, these little pigs are running around the ice, and they couldn't catch them because they were so slippery.
Noel.
Yeah. Oh God!
Listen, so my day, Russ. I never had trouble catching a pig.
The most dangerous situation I was ever in. I was playing for Montreal. We had training camp, and our last game was against Red Army in Moscow. And we got into a brawl. You can Google it. We got into a brawl, and they threw bottles at us and coins, and it was scary. The army came out with machine guns. They're like pointing them in the crowd, trying to get us off the ice. And we went
Why are coins so bad, Russ?
What? They were huge, like silver dollar size. They were They were whipping them at us. I guess they're, you know, it was back when their money was worthless. Throwing huge coins at us.
Well, I heard some of the funny, albeit some of it nasty, that teams would do during the playoffs. To throw the other team off. We had it the other night, Russ, in the game where Pat Maroon, during the pregame warm-up, Russ, you know this, it's just customary. You stay in your own end, you skate in a circle, right? You stay on, I guess, your own side of the blue line, but you would never, ever cross the red line during right? And Pat Maroon did it. And then the freaking pundits all weighed in, someone should have filled his face, and you just don't do that. And I'm going, really? Is it that big of a deal that the guy that?
Yeah, it is. It's a respect thing. And when you cross that red line and skate over there, you're just showing them you don't respect them, and you're basically giving them all the finger going, what are you going to do about it? And then that's when the big boys usually get into it. We had a brawl in Victoria, and the guys crossed, they hit each other at center ice when they're doing the circle. And Paul Sear, God rest his soul, he kept going because the guy speared him from Seattle. He just kept skating around. He took all his upper gear off. And when they met the next time, he had nothing on and he just beat the shit out of the guy because the guy had nothing to grab onto. He was just out there with suspenders on. Oh my God. Right. He just filled his boots.
I heard even on a nasty thing that, speaking of coins, you brought it up, that one of the plays was if guys, like if someone throws a dime, for example, and you said coins, either if they throw a dime on the ice, it's like super dangerous. If you skated over that, you can break a leg or something, right? So I've heard other teams would put coins on your bench, like not on the bench, but down on the floor.
What step on it, you lose your edge, and then you have to get your skate resharpened. So when you see guys out there playing and they fall,
right,
it's usually because their skate touched another skate or touched some metal and they've just completely lost their edge and they've got to go get it fixed.
Right.
And they don't stop the game for that. So while, some of your players are getting their skate sharpened, the game's still going on. So Jacques Demers in the playoffs through when he was with St. Louis, I think, playing against Minnesota in the playoffs, he needed a timeout. But he didn't have one or something. I can't remember the whole thing. But he grabbed a handful of pennies in his pocket and threw it out on the ice. And it took them, 5 minutes to scrape him off the ice. So that's how he got his time out.
See, smart. That's ingenuity, man. I've heard guys do shit like turn the heat off in their dressing room and shit like that. The opposing teams are...
Boston Bruins in the old garden used to crank the heat up to like 90 degrees. You couldn't even freaking, it was so bad. It was like sitting in a sauna getting ready for the playoff, for a playoff game. And they'd say, it's 80 degrees outside. Our heater's not, it's just the glare from the window. I'm like, yeah, right. Sweat.
Or a short bench, literally a short bench that they would shorten the bench and the team all comes out. They get ready for the opening faceoff and two guys are standing up going, yelling at guys to move down and they're going, I'm at the end. Cut the bench off,
Toronto, we used to have stools at the end of the bench. Oh. So you'd have to sit on a stool.
Hilarious shit, man. Hilarious shit. Yeah. Before we go, Russ, I really like in sports, because we gotta go back to the Toronto Raptors again. They're on the verge of winning the world championship. They're up 3-1 and best of seven. I'd alluded to this earlier that this thing has the country absolutely beyond enthralled. Okay.
Yeah.
Beyond enthralled, Russ. They have something called Jurassic Park, which is an area outside of the arena in Toronto where people who don't have tickets can go to the game. In fact, I heard it's such an absolute riot that some of them gave their tickets away to go to to sit outside.
No
crazy.
Way.
I mean, they're 10 grand.
Great idea. They do it for the hockey team too. They sit out there. I don't know what they call it there, but same thing. But it's so good to see.
There's other towns, Russ, around the country that are having these Jurassic Parks, like in Saskatoon, in Halifax, in Mississauga, outside of Toronto and all this stuff. It's a Canadian team winning an American game, Russ. And it's bigger than hockey. It's bigger than hockey right now. They're going to make history if they win. They're going to make history if they win.
Fingers crossed, boys. I want the Raptors to win.
Someone asked me, is this thing go down in your top five? You've seen the Oilers win, and I said, you know what? I dare say it may be bigger than watching a Stanley Cup final.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
But you know what? It's so great when we got, Canada's a small country. What are we, 35, 36 million people now? I don't know the exact number. And they unite when during the Olympics for hockey, when we get down to one NHL team in the playoffs, the cities unite. But this is Canada's team because there's, the Vancouver Grizzlies left. So they only have one basketball team. Yep. So every person in Canada can cheer willingly for that team because there's no other team. It's unflippin' believable. And it's so great. It's just fantastic for us Canadians to be in the finals against a great team and have a shot at winning.
Yeah. I'll tell you how big sports is and how the effect that it has on people. You will often hear, and you're hearing it more and more now because the Raptors having this incredible run, win, lose, or draw, is often I'll hear these fathers talk about relationships with their sons. And people say, what's the greatest thing about it? And you've got a son. And and the majority of the time, Russ, the best experience or the best memory they have with their son. Now, believe me, there's lots, right? They graduate, they get their license, their first girlfriend is always around a sports event. I remember taking my kid to the hockey game or the Stanley Cup game or Super Bowl where we sat and took tickets and I went with my guy, that's really telling, right? How big sports is.
It truly is. It's a uniter and it's so fantastic.
You didn't have a very good reaction to my take on that. You didn't like it.
Well, I didn't want to get into, I got three kids who play sports and I freaking love it. Like I love watching them play. Two of them have won national titles.
Yeah.
One of them hasn't. And my best moments was watching my kids do that better than mine. And I mean, my oldest daughter has won in Canada. She won two Little League national titles and one soccer national title. She won a UCLA won a national title.
Yeah.
My son won one in hockey in the USHL. So my 16-year-old, I hope goes on to win one too. But I grew up with these Carson brothers in Victoria.
Uh-huh.
And they're becoming fans of the show. They're the biggest, toughest, meanest guys I ever met. And that includes hockey. And they're wonderful human
beings. Like the Hanson brothers almost?
No, they're huge men. They're like 6'3 to 6'6. And they're all like, they're big, big rugby players.
Yep.
And they were great at other sports too, but they have
rugby players aren't that tough, Russ.
Oh Jesus. My God. Jesus. I'm telling you, I'll save it for another show. I'll tell a Leonard Carson story and so I'll get his permission first. But anyways, five brothers and two sisters. One brother's passed. So they have four kids playing on men's U20 Canada rugby team, and they are even bigger and tougher than their dads. But it's so fantastic. They sent me this roster for the men's U20 team,
right?
And four of these Carson boys from BC are on this Canadian team representing their country, and we hope they win a national a world title.
Did you ever have any fear, Russ? You were a highly successful professional hockey player, played at the highest level, had a long career, which is exceptional in itself, to last more than 5 or 6 years in the NHL, and you played almost 20, right? You almost played 20?
16 years.
16 years. It's a charity show, Russ. It's charity. I gave you a few more years, okay?
Yeah, that's all right.
You got a son who is playing hockey and played at a high level college, right?
Still doing it.
What was your biggest fear, Russ, about your son? Did you ever experience, God, I hope he thinks he doesn't have to take after what I did, or how do you handle that when you were a pro athlete and you got a kid who probably I'm assuming your son would aspire to be a NHLer.
Well, we were living in LA when I retired, and he was about 3 and a half, I think, when I retired. And so I thought, I'm just going to – Wayne and I were talking. He's like, my kids aren't going to play hockey. I don't want them.
Wayne Gretzky.
Too hard. Yeah. And so I said, okay, my son's not going to play hockey either. Put him in baseball and soccer and flag football and lacrosse, and he'll be this California-American kid athlete. And so we moved to Victoria in 2003, and he was 7 years old, and his his nephews were playing, and he goes, Dad, I want to play hockey. I mean, I never shot pucks with them. I never did anything, never talked about hockey. And then it was him. So once he decided he wanted to play, I started coaching him, and I put him in the, you know, the little fun league we had at our local arena, and I coached him up till he was 15 years old. And
yeah, but what about when he's saying, "Hey, Dad, I want to be like you," and the chances of a kid playing in the NHL are what, less than 2 or 3% or something. Take us through that experience.
So I just encourage our kids. My dad and mom said, if you play a sport, you're going to start it, you're going to finish it, and you're going to work harder than anybody on the field. The hardest you're ever going to work, you know, the hardest you're able to work every time you're out there. So that's all I've ever said to my kids is, look, you're going to work hard. You're going to finish it, whether you like it or not. And I just try to help him out. Like, I try to give him advice. I watch all his games, and sometimes he doesn't want to hear it. You know, when things aren't going great, it's like, Dad, okay, got it. You know, and I'm not that crazy hockey dad that's going, you know, getting mad at my son. I mean, I get disappointed sometimes when he makes a mistake. I know he shouldn't be making, right. But I encourage Lawton, my son. I want him to fulfill every dream he has. And right now he's got a year left in college. Mm-hmm. He's got deadly speed. And he's a big, strong kid. He loves the game. He loves his teammates. And we'll see in a year, you know, we'll find out if he's good enough. But he's really worked hard, and it hasn't come easy because he started at 7, not 3 like most boys. But
Right.
You should see him skate. He went to the Kings rookie camp last year.
Yep.
They put these trackers on you. Yeah. So I guess it's a vest. It's hooked up to a computer, and they rate they see how fast guys skate and where they go on the ice. Yep. They pulled him off the ice, and they're like, "You're the fastest skater on the ice by 2 points." And exactly. And that's all their first, second, and third round draft picks that they've had over the last couple of years. And so, you know, he's got NHL speed. So we'll see. We're all praying and hoping for him that he goes to where he wants to go, but we're proud of him because he's a good kid.
Well, you were renowned. If someone said Russ Courtney, you had to pick one thing, they were going to say speed, how fast you were. So it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
You know, I've had a tracker on me too, Russ. It was a ankle bracelet that a judge put on but he could track me just like your son, just like they do.
Yeah,
that's what I've been tracked before, Russ. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah,
Lenny. Lenny Dykstra.
Yeah,
he got out of jail.
Former NBL, Major League Baseball player with Philly.
Yep. So he goes, Russ. He goes, I'm living in this halfway house. I got this ankle bracelet on, and I've convinced the girls who I'm sleeping with that I'm doing this a study for a tech company.
Oh, come on. Come on.
He goes, when you get naked, you go, you can't take it off. So you got to make up something. And he goes, they all believe me that I'm doing something for some tech company. Oh, my God. He called me and told me the story, and I said, I got to put you on speaker. And I was with Rick Tocchet and Wayne Gretzky at his fantasy camp. And I go, boys, you got to hear this one.
I'm working for a tech company doing experiments.
Yeah. And they're monitoring me. I don't know. He just made up some bullshit story, but it was so funny.
I got to write that down. That's going in the show promo right there. That's for sure. Yeah,
Lenny.
The ankle bracelet. I had a buddy who said, you know, every guy, when he's hitting the bar at night, you know, and trying to get with a girl, right? And guys will always brag about their surefire method, you know, to be able to go home with a girl. And this guy said to me, here's the best way, boys, you know, and there's terrible jokes about it, you know. You know, does this rag smell like chloroform? You know, not a funny thing. Okay, you can't do that. You can't do that. The guy said, here was his move. So he'd nestle up to a girl at the bar, and he'd say, listen, I'm really old. Okay, I'm much older than you, but I'm really rich. but I have a massive, massive heart condition. Do you want to get married? Oh, I'm gonna be dead in 2 weeks. You want to get married? Anyway, funny stuff, Rusty. Good final thoughts, sir. Love that. All good stuff, and we come to you every week. Global Story Network, which has a huge platform of podcasts now. Thanks to those guys for partnering up with us. Another good one in the books, Russ. What's up for the rest of the night? A third bottle?
No, third bottle? I'm up. I told you I was at Gaza Ranch, and I love to cook. So I'm cooking for... The other night I cooked at Tyler Johnson's house, who plays for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And we had about 25 people over, members and friends. And tonight we're doing another one. Brendan Morrow's in town, a former NHL player. Ray Whitney's coming. Tyler Johnson. Love Razor. Bobby Ryan.
Say hi to Ray.
Yeah. And John Cooper, coach of Tampa Bay.
Very good.
And his wife is bringing potatoes and salad.
Russ, when I first got married, I came home after work. This is how bad of a cook my wife was. And she was crying. She'd made a big roast, you know, and she said, I said, what's wrong? She goes, I made this huge roast. And the dog jumped up on the counter and ate it. I said, don't worry about it. We'll get another fucking dog. We'll talk to you later, everybody. Thanks. See you later, Rusty.
Yep, see you, Jimmy.
Take it easy, buddy.